Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves.
We are with author Fred Gartner, and he has just written a book called 6 Days Till Sunday. Hello, Fred.
Hello, how are you doing?
Doing fine, thank you very much. So, Fred, tell me a little bit about the theme of 6 Days Till Sunday. What's the book about?
Well, actually, it's a book about slavery, slave conditions here in the United States, about 2 years before emancipation. But the purpose of drawing on slavery is a broader purpose. You see, each life stream, according to my hypothesis, is fathered by a wayshower. Now, the wayshower is not somebody to worship. It's just a fellow that has those responsibilities, as each of us one day will have similar responsibilities. So part of his responsibility is to try to play down or conquer a system of slavery where one racial group enslaves another. And the particular prince that he's trying to convince convert him from pro-slave to anti-slave happens to be a black man. So he thinks, well, let's get you to go to United States, contemporary situation back in 1858, and experience life as a black slave. See what slavery is like. If you see it for the evil that it is, then as the prince that you are, we can send you back to Omni and you will fight our battle to free 20,000 whites who are now enslaved by 60,000 blacks. So that's the overall view of what 6 Days is about.
Now, Fred, how did you come up with the idea for this topic in this book?
Well, I wanted to find a situation that was, what do I call it, evil enough to call Aaron onto the scene. Now, Aaron is not somebody who to worship, as I said before, just a moment ago. Aaron is an example of what each of us will one day become, the father of a life stream. And that's what he is. Now, his life stream includes earthlings. It's a tiny, tiny section of the overall view. But it's still, he loves them all. And when he looks into the situation, as it was back in 1858, he sees a big bunch of one racial group enslaving another. That's why he's trying to get the prince to experience bondage. And hopefully he'll say, now I see the evil of slavery. I'll get back to my home planet. And by the time I become the king of Verd, I'll be as anti-slave as you are. So that's the broad thing. Your question is, why did we decide upon slavery? That's just one evil thing that the wayshower can combat. In the second novel, the evil is Christians killing Christians in the name of Christ, as was going on in Ireland for 20 years. Well, it was evil enough to call Aaron onto the scene there. So in Preacher Sean and a Terrorist, that's the thing he's fighting there. Always something, a misbehavior. And he loves all his children, and he's not allowed to punish them. He wants to set a good example, and by the way he lives his life and the way he teaches, that he's helped be overcome one evil thing after another. So let's see, each novel will have some foul behavior that poor Aaron's coming on the scene to try to combat.
Now, Fred, in the book, you talk about the soul of a man. How do you define the soul of a man?
I think that's very important. As long as it's just some kind of a ethereal thing, not too definite, it doesn't, you know, we aren't really part of it. When we die, the only part of us that's truly immortal is our spiritual soul electron. You see, our scientists say we have matter and energy, and I presuppose further elements from which both those are made, and they're called sub-electrons. Now, within the field of sub-electrons, there's a very special brand of them called the spiritual sub-electron, which each of us possesses as a soul. So when we die, that doesn't die. Our body turns to dust, but the spiritual sub-electron is attracted toward the physical body of a teenager or someone in the second order, and then that person becomes a complete entity. He knows his own life life that he's lived for, say, 16 years, and all of a sudden he inherits his spiritual soul electron of a first-order being. And there's a big celebration because now that individual is ready to start serious second-order life. He has total recall of first order. That's the soul of a man, and that's the function it serves. When you die out of 2,000 years of second-order life, it's the same thing. Only then your spiritual soul electron will have total recall of 1,000 years of first order, 2,000 years of second order, and you get born into the very beginning of third-order life. So, you see, it's much more specific than just saying we all have eternal life or immortal life, but this puts it in very definite sections that I think we can visualize and cope with. And by having a soul that is an actual physical entity, a spiritual sub-electron, we can visualize it as something. But it, in a sense, it's imperishable. You can't destroy a sub-electron. So it is immortal, and it contains all the total memories, total recall. In each book, I try to bring out some aspect of what I just like to have, total recall. We have faint recall of earlier life that we're now living. But boy, that's not like the miracle of total recall. That's every from day one to the very last day of it, you have total recall. So if you look at somebody like, say, old Beethoven, he wouldn't have any trouble recalling each piece that he wrote, how he constructed it, what his life was like when he did, how he might want to do things differently regarding that particular item. So you see, it's a continuity or a continuum that I think you're much better off if you visualize that way instead of just an abstraction.
And Fred, in the book, you contend that the soul survives death. It exists long after the physical being dies. How does that work?
Well, the physical being is, you see, the soul is attracted to the spiritual sub-electron of a second-order being. And so you have a physical body, namely, you inherit that physical body that your spiritual sub-electron is attracted to. And it's fused with the spiritual sub-electron of that being. So you see, now your soul or spiritual sub-electron, total recall of the life on Earth, and then ordinary recall of second-order life, say the first 14 or 16 years of it that you've experienced to date.
Fred, when we think of a soulmate, I mean, the general thinking is that it's somebody who we have a lot in common with. It's somebody we can spend the rest of our lives with, somebody who shares the same values as us. Tell me what your definition of a soulmate is, and what is the role of that soulmate?
I guess the best way to describe that is the role of a soulmate is, you see, actually, our soul is only half a soul. If we happen to be a man, it's the male soul. but there is a physical being of the opposite sex whose soul completes our own. And so when you finally get to the place where you recognize your soulmate, and the spiritual sub-electron of the soulmate is born into the same physical body that your spiritual sub-electron is, then you become a true a higher order being. In fact, that's when you become a wayshower. That's the definition of a wayshower. His spiritual sub-electron is not just the male side of his soul, but also the female side fused. But still, he is wayshowers are male because, after all, your responsibility is to procreate our life stream, and you don't do as much procreating as a female as you could as a male. As I'm sure you can visualize.
And how do we become a wayshower?
We become a wayshower by living our lives, whether you're male or female, living our lives, sacrificing, building, growing, learning. And remember, with each death and rebirth, you build on a total recall of what has come before. And eventually, all the recall of your first order lives is fused with that of your soulmate. When that happens, at that instant, your spiritual soul electron is born into the physical body near the brain, the physical body of someone who will then have immortal life. He won't experience life and death of that physical body anymore. It is a soulmate is one whose spiritual soul electron has been fused with that of his opposite, the person who represents his other half, if you know what I'm trying to say. It takes both to make a complete soul. And as soon as that soul is complete, you are, by definition, and from then on, a wayshower. And immediately you have responsibilities of founding a life stream and assuming the responsibilities of guiding it and teaching it, instructing it, inspiring it. It's a lot of stuff out there. It's a lot different than just going to heaven and eating cookies for the rest of your life.
Okay, you talk about the main task of the wayshower, and you talk about life stream. What do you mean by life stream?
Life stream is a body of, what do I call it? A sequence of physical bodies that we literally procreate. You see, the wayshower is a male, and he cohabits with females from other life streams and gives birth to just enough of those beings to plant them on a particular planet, which becomes the first order of that life stream. And first order lives is by definition approximately 1,000 years. Second order life is approximately 2,000 years, but that's on a second order planet. See, and the only way your spiritual sub-electron can get there is to acquire the learning experience of 1,000 years of first-order life. Now, Earthlings, we have so many little bits and pieces. How many of us live to be 1,000 years old, you see? Maybe Methuselah got up there pretty high, but not too many today. So what happens is you keep getting reborn here on Earth until you finally have a bunch of little bits and pieces that add up to 1,000 years of first-order life. That's what's needed. So on that next death, instead of your spiritual sub-electron or soul being attracted to another first-order being, it goes through these barriers, these sub-electronic barriers, leading to either the major or minor universe of the next higher structure. I'd like to have a geometric example to show you how this infinite sequence of spheres defines total time and space. And the spiritual sort of electron of each of us then moves through this physical reality of second-order life. If we're strong and like 75% in terms of what we've done and grown, we'll get born in major-order life. Perhaps we weren't quite as applying ourselves to what we're here for, made quite the sacrifices that we should have, then you'll be reborn into the minor order of second life. And then for that little 5% that has done so much of negatives, it doesn't get reborn in the second order. It goes back into the outer universe of our first order and starts all over again. Spiritual sub-electron, our soul, is totally erased of those memories, and he starts from scratch, as he did on day one by getting born here on Earth as a baby. So I guess that answers that question, I hope.
Fred, how would I get a hold of the book? Is there a website I can go to? Is it in bookstores? How would you suggest?
I think it's in bookstores. I know Xlibris, if you call Xlibris, they'll send you one by within 2 or 3 days.
Wonderful. Fred Gardner, the author of 6 Days Till Sunday. Fred, we wish you a lot of luck with the book.
Okay, well, thanks an awful lot, and I appreciate your interest.